Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners, and welcome to the Foss Arms in the heart of Leicester, with myself, Tim, with Norm. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And with no killer, Norm, because I heard half an hour ago, he's stuck. So whether that means he's stuck somewhere or stuck in something, I'll leave you and the listeners to make your minds up.
Or stuck on something. Maybe he's had a stroll through. I noticed they were doing a little bit of work outside the Foss Arms. Maybe he's trodden in that concrete and is really struggling to get out.
I've got, for those of you that have seen Ace Ventura 2, that's what I've got in my mind. But maybe Killer will join us. It's obviously an open invitation for him to join us. So we'll see if that happens. If not, normal, we will battle on with a double game week that had up and down consequences, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, obviously Sheffield Wednesday, the first of the two games, and probably a little less to talk about with regards to that. But given that we won, I mean, we tend to find more to chat about when there's the odd negative, as some of our listeners seem to think. But I think the Sheffield Wednesday game generically, it was a little bit of a game of two halves. I thought the first half we were really, really good, and I'll go into a bit more, you know, detail on the goals in a minute. I thought probably almost the best we've played all season. I think some of the stuff we played was really, really great. We probably should have been 3 or 4 up at half time rather than just the two and have put the game to bed. But you know, fair play to Sheffield Wednesday. They came out the second half having gone 5 at the back, and it took us half of the second half to kind of come to terms with that. And I think we just sort of, you know, made hard work of it, really. But in the end, to be honest, as I'm sure you'll be aware, it was a fairly comfortable victory, as we would have expected. So, you know, a good solid performance. First half brilliant, second half not so great, but came out with a victory. But what I do want to say on that, Tim, is the goals. I thought I really, really loved Vardy's step over for Fatawu's goal.
Clever.
I thought, you know, really, really, really good. Because I mean, he obviously supports Sheffield Wednesday, so he probably didn't at that point fancy scoring. but also our second goal, and I don't know whether you remember a few years ago, we ended a season when we were struggling a little bit in the Premier League. We ended up beating Man City 4-1 at home, and there was a great through ball by Riyad Mahrez, a volleyed through ball to Vardy, just like a first time pass to Vardy, then went on and scored. And I thought, whilst it wasn't quite at that level, KDH's cushioned volleyed pass to Vardy for our second again was, you know, absolute class, and kind of synonymous of the kind of season that he's having. I thought it was imperious, and obviously Vardy did go on and score against his boyhood heroes. But you know, aside from that, like I said, the first half we were superb. I'm sure most of our listeners would have seen it, but yeah, just like we do sometimes, we just don't quite finish games off when we probably could do. And you know, whilst 2-0's great, had Wednesday scored, it really would have been another one of those squeaky bum times, which fortunately we avoided. So maybe our luck ran out a little bit, because as you mentioned, Tim, we did have a second game this week, didn't we? And I think the second game we were a little unfortunate.
Yeah, just I always wondered, you know, when players score against their boyhood teams, I just find the whole the thought for me, and I know what the answer, the stock answer to this is, though, you know, they're professionals, they get on with their job, but it's just too straight a line. If I was been lucky enough to play football and unlucky enough to be playing against Leicester, I would just, you know, because by that age, I don't know, by the age that you've been playing football, you've presumably been watching Leicester for, let's say, 10, 15 years at least. And I don't know, I'm just thinking, when I was that age that I'd been watching City for 15 years, the thought of scoring against them as it is now fills me with absolute chills. I mean, I would not want to score a goal against Leicester City. It would ruin my own weekend.
And which I suppose is why a lot of players then don't go on and celebrate. But you're a professional, aren't you? And whilst you've obviously got your boyhood team, that there are times when you are going to find yourself up against that team, and you've just got no choice. I mean, I suppose the only other thing is you actually say to the manager, you know, I don't want to be. I'm really sorry. I don't want to be involved in this, but. You know,
I think would you, let's say that was a viable thing you could say, would you not say, and you know, you weren't going to get slaughtered by the manager or by your teammates, that there's a general understanding, which obviously there isn't in football, but if there was, would you ask to opt out of the game against Leicester?
Well, I can't answer that, but I suppose you've got
to answer it. How many times do you have to say you have to answer questions on this show?
I shall answer the question, but there's got to be a bit of a caveat here. I suppose I wouldn't want to play against Leicester, but if it meant I wasn't going to get if it wasn't going to send Leicester down by scoring, and it was going to help the team I was playing win the Premier League or the FA Cup, and I could get a massive win bonus by doing so, then I think I'd probably have to.
You're cheap.
If you said you're not playing against your team, oh no, I'm not going to play. Then, you know, frankly, and then you were told, well, you're not going to get this month's wages then, or this week's wages. It's like saying, well, I'll lose like for Vardy on Tuesday, I'll lose 125 grand. Just to not play.
Focus the mind, yeah.
So I don't think it happens. I think most players would be professional. But you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if occasionally something like that would happen. I mean, if you've been an absolute enormous, staunch fan, then you probably, maybe there are times you wouldn't. But look at like Frank Lampard. He scored for Man City against Chelsea, didn't he? I mean, he wasn't. Mm. I know. I appreciate he wasn't a Chelsea fan, but you know, to play for a club for so long, it's
My favourite one was the Adebayor one, Man City Arsenal. Do you remember he ran the whole end of the pitch?
Well, yeah, but that's the other thing. It's like at the end of the day, it's your job to score, celebrate. You know, all this nonsense. Oh, you've made one substitute appearance for a team, and then you score against them, and it's like, yeah, sorry, I'm, you know, I know I'm your absolute hero, I don't want to upset you by scoring. You know, there's a little bit of, it's not necessary, is it? I mean, just, you've scored a goal, celebrate, just don't rub it in. Just do the traditional Shearer arm, one arm aloft. You don't have to do a Dakar somersault.
Yeah, you know, Mick Shannon, windmill arm. All right, let's get back to business. You mentioned Wednesday played five at the back, and obviously Michael Carrick had the same plan, because what Borough usually played four at the back, he played five at the back. And here's a bit of alliteration for you, Num. When our wingers don't work, we don't work as well, do we? Thought that one up earlier.
That's very good. We don't work as well. We work woefully.
It just, honestly, watching that game, I just thought... Yeah, our wingers are allowed to have bad days, but KDH was a bit off it. I don't think he was as off it as some people thought he was, and it just shows the standards he set himself. Winks was Winks as normal. But then you go to we look to our wingers for the creativity, don't we? And he's hooked off Mavididi, who's allowed to have a not great half. I thought that was okay. Thought the substitute winger was slightly odd. And then Fatawu didn't really prove as effective as he normally does either. And we haven't had many days, have we, when both of those two have had an off day?
No, and I think, I mean, you say an off day. I mean, they weren't probably as you know, quite as great as they have been, but I think they were still, you know, both causing trouble. And let's not forget, Fatawu would certainly have had an assist if I think it was his cross that Vestergaard should have scored, and Dacca's missed a simple header.
I think that was Cannon's cross, actually. Wasn't that Cannon's cross in the second?
Cannon wasn't on when Dacca should have scored. I'm talking in the first.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said the Vestergaard one.
Yeah, no, but Vestergaard missed a header at the post in the first half, didn't he?
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking about the open goal he missed in the second half.
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the first half. I've not even got to that. And I know we're talking in detail about the game, but I think I was very frustrated at the game because I did think we did enough to win. I honestly think it was just one of those games where they've come with a game plan. They've scored from a they've scored a breakaway goal. They've scored a goal from a mistake from Mavadidi, when other teams probably wouldn't have scored them. So they've got themselves a two-goal lead. But in that game, we have... I know we're going to go into more detail. I'm just sort of generalising here. We scored. The ball didn't fall for us a couple of times in the area when it might have done. And I'm pretty sure that Dacca should have scored his header. Vestergaard should have scored his header. Vardy would normally have buried that. I'm not saying Vardy's chance was easy. He made a great run across the defender. He would normally score. He didn't. And then Vestergaard, well, I mean, how he missed that. I mean, he could have controlled it and then walked it in at his pace and still have scored. You know, so it's one of those games, I think, where we've another day we would have won. We'd have ended up winning 4 or 5-2. And we were the better team. Borough did a job. They defended well. Fair play. But I don't think we were as bad. And I think a lot of the, you know, people that going a little bit overboard about, oh, you know, how bad it was, given the first half at Wednesday was probably as good as we've played all season. Recently, we beat Stoke 5-0. You know, we've had a little bit of an off day at the office. We've not scored goals we should have scored. We should never have lost the game. We did. It's football. You know, let's just get on with it and, you know, accept that there were chances we could have scored. Obviously, on the back of that, I mean, you mentioned there, Tim, you know, a strange winger coming on in Tom Cannon. There were some elements of the game, weren't there, where I don't really fully understand the thought process behind some of the subs that were made.
Well, yeah, okay. So let's come on to that. Firstly, I've seen quite a lot of stuff saying that we didn't deserve to win that game. And I agree with you. I think we did deserve to win that game. I mean, I know you're normally our resident stato, but I was looking at some of the stats in terms of, you know.
I've written it down.
you've got the stats. So, okay, well, I mean, I'm just going to pick two out. Yeah. 71% possession.
Yeah.
You know, which is unbelievable. And then 24 shots to their 5. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that yet again, the problem is shots on target, isn't it? Which yes. it can be with us. We only had 2 shots on target. I have to say, I can't think what the second one was. Obviously, one's the goal. I can't think of another one on target, but there's another one's been counted as a shot on target. And that's the same shots on target as Middlesbrough had. 2 shots on target and theirs go in. So, look, for me, Borough have got away with one there. I mean, you know, well done to them. I think it was an interesting game plan. And certainly to change formation, well done, Michael Carrick, because you have to say he's kind of gone a little bit sour for him this year. Not completely, but, you know, he was probably the coming manager last year, wasn't he? And then it's not quite worked this year. But, you know, he's outthought Maresca twice this season. So well done. But I think we deserve to win the game. Coming on to your point, so the wingers are having the off day. Okay, that happens. No problem with that. You got McAteer sitting on the bench. You got Albrighton sitting on the bench at the time. And off comes Mavadidi, and on comes Tom Cannon. Now, you know, I think, you know, we said during at the time, didn't we? This is an odd one. And then you had, well, first of all, you had quite a good theory why he'd done it, didn't you?
Well, I thought it was a sensible theory. It felt to me the only reason they would have done that is to have Fatawu crossing, having the ball being crossed in from the right wing, and having someone with a bit beefier and more powerful, I suppose, running in at the back post to try and get on the end of some crosses, either to head it across goal or ideally into the net, because that felt like a good idea. It felt like the only reason that they would have brought a player of like Tom Cannon on, who's a decent player. I'm not blaming him at all, but he's not a winger. He's a centre forward. You know, he's got a great shot on him, but he's not going to take players on and get loads of crosses in, is he? He's not that kind of guy. So, like you say, given that McAteer and Albrighton, who, if you want balls flinging into the box, bring him on earlier. On the bench, it was very, very strange,
and it didn't work because he then took Fatawu off.
Yeah.
So you know, when you said that, I thought, yeah, that does at least make sense, because it was completely confusing. I mean, I I've seen some reports saying that Cannon had a good game and was skinning Luke Ayling, but I think you and I would probably skin Luke Ayling, and I didn't think he had a good game. I thought he was largely cut adrift, looking at like a bit of an isolated soul, wondering what on earth am I doing out here, and probably wishing he was playing down the middle. Because I couldn't think of another time we'd had two strikers on the pitch under Enzo, to be honest. I mean, there probably has been a time this season, but I couldn't think of one. And in effect, we didn't, because he played as a winger.
No, completely. And, you know, and if he's going to bring Cannon on, then it almost makes more sense to put if he's going to keep Dakar on, which is also questionable because Dakar hadn't been brilliant. I mean, put Dakar on the wing because he's got a bit of pace, and put Cannon in the middle. I personally wouldn't have brought Cannon on. I think you're absolutely right. It'd have been McAteer if you're going to bring someone on, or even have taken left Mavadidi on and brought Albrighton on for Fatawu, frankly, and would have replaced Dakar with Vardy rather than waiting till the 60th minute or whenever it was he came in. So there were a lot of very, very, you know, strange decisions that I'd love him to come out and say the reason we did this was because, I mean, maybe he took the wingers off or went a bit more narrow because the wingers weren't working against the back five, and they just felt that by overloading a bit more in the middle it would help. But it'd be really interesting. Enzo, of course, if you're listening, you know, give us a call.
What do you mean? Of course he's listening.
So it would be good to know, because clearly there's a reason why he did it. You know, we just don't know.
Yeah, a very confused. And it's something that we've criticised him for consistently amongst the large praise we've given him around substitutions. We've often felt he hasn't got them right. Definitely didn't feel he's got them right this time. The other thing that's interesting is I think he's clearly alighted on Dennis Pratt as the NDD replacement rather than McAteer, hasn't he? Which, I mean, I don't have a major problem with that. I probably would slightly have gone the other way, particularly given the really good 45 minutes McAteer did have when he did have that role.
Yeah, it's I mean, I like Dennis. I like Dennis Pratt. I mean, he's just pretty steady. So I think it's an acceptable decision, isn't it? I think it's not like you've said. It's like, you know, you could. I quite like McAteer in that role, but like I say, Dennis Pratt, I've not got a problem with, and I think he's done all right since he's had a little run in the team. But yeah, he doesn't tend to set the world on fire, but I do think he's in general pretty steady. So I've got no issue with that. I suppose it's just, you know, when you see players like that there, you just always think back to last season and the player that used to play there, and it just makes you a little bit sad.
Yeah, and also doubly so because we haven't got Ndidi, who's sort of made such a brilliant fist of playing in that position. Hopefully he's not too far off. I just wonder what McAteer thinks. You know, he started the season fantastically well, got injured. He then gets a break to come and play in that sort of number eight, number 10 role, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He scores. He then gets booked and understandably hooked off. And that's it. And he's not had another chance. Then we play with two wingers and the wingers are having a bad day. And instead of him coming on for one of the wingers, you get a makeshift striker come on instead of him. And I'm just wondering if... I don't know. Whether he's got Enzo's nose out of joint somewhere along the line. It's a bit of an odd one because to me, he's not done a lot wrong.
No, but this is where we're coming from here, isn't it? Is that I suspect the fact that the wingers weren't working as well is the reason here. This is why it'd be great to know exactly what the reason is, because there is the reason that Tom Cannon came on. You know, a winger was the right ploy or a quicker winger or a more tricky winger, he would have brought him on, wouldn't he? And he didn't. So, you know, so we can sit here and chat about, you know, that we feel it's bizarre, but there's clearly a reason for it. And I think I'm probably right. I think they just wanted a bit more power up front. I think the biggest error really is, if you want that, it's not a bad idea, is have the player that, you know, whilst might not have the pace, and I don't think should start games that on a regular basis, but the one player that can glide past opposition and frankly put a ball on a sixpence is Mark Albright. And he should have been on way before the 89th minute when we're chasing the game, trying to get something out of it.
Yeah, very, very odd to leave that substitution till quite so late. I agree. I mean, ironically, this is the one manager that Albrighton has not persuaded. He's persuaded every single manager that's come to the club eventually that he's a man, and he hasn't persuaded Enzo. He is a bit older, but yeah, there's not a great... I mean, in the 1 minute he did have, or what was it? It was only 4 minutes, wasn't it? I think he had 5 minutes, and so he looked the part, didn't he? He looked the part. He found space. He got the ball into the box. You know, you have got Tom Cannon on the pitch. I'd have thought Tom Cannon in his real role would have been crying out for Albrighton in his real role.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I'm not sure that he doesn't fancy Albright. I do think that Mavididi and Fatou and McAteer are probably ahead of him as wingers. You know, certainly Mavididi and Fatou for starting. But I think that he's got a massive, you know, role to play in the last few games we've got of this season by coming on, you know, with 20, 25 minutes to go.
I think that's the point, isn't it? If you know, give him a chance. He usually delivers something, doesn't he?
Yes, so he does.
I'd give him a chance. One other thing, Dom, from the specifics of the game, I don't want to spend too long on this because we've often talked about it, but, you know, again, Daka ineffectual. I think if Killer was here, he'd point to the fact that we pretty much score four goals every time Daka plays. But, you know, flat trap bully... lower level championship player. It just keeps coming back to me. The difference when Vardy came on was immediate. I mean, Vardy scored 2-2 off limited game time. He scored 12 goals this season. He looks sharp as a tack to me. I get the fact that he's the age that he is. Would we have lost that game if Vardy had started instead of Daka? I don't know. I mean, and you know, critics at that point around and say, well, he did miss a sitter, which by his standards he did. But I say, yeah, but within a few minutes he scored again. And, you know, he's a far more complete footballer than Patson Daka. And it frustrates me to see... I don't know. Maybe he hasn't got the minutes in his legs. It's just frustrating because, you know, they're not comparable in my mind.
No, I think you're right. But he played the majority of the game against Sheffield Wednesday. So on a Tuesday. So someone that's 37 to then come and play to start against Borough, which, with no disrespect to Borough, and, you know, the only change that Enzo made was Daka for Vardy. You know, I think we would probably have started the game expecting Daka, who's scored a few goals. You know, his scoring record for his this season's absolutely fine.
I don't think he's got as many as Vardy's got 12 now.
No, but what I'm referring to is that the things like the minutes per goal. When he's had a chance, he's scored. And let's be clear, he missed and he should have scored his header. But I think the manager would have looked thinking, with the team I've put out, resting Vardy for Leeds makes sense, because we should have more than enough at home to beat Middlesbrough. And the 24 shots with one stroke, two on target, the fact that there were four chances that we could easily have scored shows that we should have beat them. So, again, I haven't got an issue with him starting Daka. I think it would have made more sense to have brought Daka off earlier and given, you know, I know Vardy got sort of 25, 30 minutes, but I'd have probably, if I was going to make a substitution at half time, it probably would have been bring Daka off and bring Vardy on, given we were two goals behind and given we'd known already that both Leeds and Southampton had won their games. You know, it wasn't, you know, they already knew that. So getting a result became a little bit more important. I'm not worried, by the way, but
I was going to ask you that. Worryometer.
If I wasn't a Leicester fan, I wouldn't be worried in the slightest. Purely because I am a Leicester fan. You just have these visions and fears of it, you know, all going pear shaped. And I suppose if we lost at Leeds on Friday and Southampton won, then suddenly it's potentially 5 and 6 points ahead of them. If Southampton win their game in hand against Hull,
then it's close. I know you and Killer have completely written them off because, you know, you're both flaky like the wind. But Ipswich, game in hand, they've got 66. Oh. They're only a point behind Southampton.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, Ipswich aren't out of it, but just feel that they're, you know, when you look at the form recently, you know, it's Leeds and Southampton that have edged a little closer to us. At one point, we'd put something like 16 points on Ipswich. You know, we're here, we were just, since Christmas, since we played them at their place, we've completely turned it round. I think they'd won like 1 in 9.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that they're not still in it. It's they're in it because they've had such a great start. If you look at the form tables, they're nowhere near.
Turn it around a bit and fell it. Only one defeat in five now. So they have restabilised. I mean, they could go above Leeds. I mean, they won't because of goal difference, but they could go above Leeds this weekend. And we're suddenly saying Leeds are the ones breathing down our necks. So, yeah. Look, you know, I think you've probably been proven right on their squad depth, and they were unlucky to lose Hurst because I think that's made a big difference. But they've actually done very well, won the last two, only lost one in five. So they're just, again, for our listeners, Leicester and Leeds, top two now, both played 33, 78 and 69 points respectively. And then the next three teams, West Brom is included for what it's worth, have all played 32. So they've all got a game in hand. Southampton on 67 and Ipswich on 66.
I think my worryometer, Tim, I think where that kicks in a little bit is what I don't like are things like little patterns and stuff. And earlier on in the season, the only time this season we've lost two consecutive league games was Borough and Leeds. And we've lost to Borough and we're playing Leeds next. I don't like that. That's where my worryometer kicks in.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's... it's likely, isn't it? I mean, the fixtures don't replicate themselves in the second half of the season. But, you're going to be... you're going to be absolutely getting those sort of things cropping up, aren't you? So, we'll come on to the Leeds one in a bit. One other thing I wanted to mention from the game, I thought, just, you know, a bit more curious. Union FS, what a brilliant job they do. I mean, the guys are standing up, relentlessly singing. I love the new Fatawu song. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the flag display and the big, you know, the Ace of Clubs thing that comes out behind the goal. I just think they've added so much to the club. We mentioned them once earlier this season, but I thought twice would not be too often to do that. So I just think they've been brilliant. They're really adding a lot. And actually, given some of Enzo's comments about the home support versus away support that he was talking about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the Swansea match, he certainly wouldn't have had any complaint. I thought the crowd were absolutely brilliant at 2-0 down, 100% behind the team.
Yeah, and do you know what? And I said this to you at the game, but that's the jeopardy. You know, the crowd, you get the crowd like rising up and like cheering us on when we're 2-0 down, because it's not happened this season, not a lot, has it? You know, when you're 2-0 up and cruising, I suppose it's a bit, you know, you score a goal and it's a bit more, yeah, expected that. It is hard sometimes not to be a little bit overconfident, you know, not you know, almost arrogant. And I think that's what's been happening. So when you're down and then you get a goal back, it's like, it was such a huge difference. And I think if we could spin that round, so when we're winning 2-0 at home to Sheffield Wednesday at half time, when they come out for the second half, you're getting that absolute roar as if you're 2-0 down. I think that would help get us over the line rather than finding ourselves conceding the odd late goal and hanging on a bit when we shouldn't be.
Yeah. Hopefully that corner. So I really thought the fans were you know, the fans understand what an absolutely brilliant season we've had. A friend of ours, Norm, in the Foss Arms after the match, said that we've been getting our comments about JJ wrong this season, and that actually he ain't going to be up to it in terms of Premier League standard next year, which made me think, well, you do sometimes have, you know, you gloss over players that, you know, in my mind at the moment, Hermanson's a fantastic goalkeeper. I'm probably, you know, and I think he is, but I'd be more than willing to oversee a little run of form that wasn't as good, because I've just got that image of him in my mind. I've got that worrying image in my mind of Vestergaard in the Premier League. You know, it's just going to take some turning around. I think, you know, I've always lumped Pereira and Castagne when he was here, and JJ almost into a group of, they're all fantastic. Is it time just to think a bit more about JJ? He's not been quite the same since his bad injury, has he?
No, he's not. But I still think there's the player in there, and I still think he can do a job. I'm not necessarily convinced. You know, like he's basically almost playing like as a centre back, isn't he? And I suppose that's the point here. It's like that's not really his position. So maybe it's more to do with where he's playing rather than his ability. Because I still like him, and I still prefer him to, if I'm honest, prefer him to Doyle. I think Doyle can play out a bit better, but I think JJ's a bit quicker, and maybe I'm biased and just remembering what, you know, how he, you know, that season when he frankly should, just before he got his first injury, that he should have been in the England squad. But yeah, I'm still happy enough with him, and I think he would do a job in the Premier League, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because Christensen's on loan, isn't he? He's not. So, I mean, Enzo's, I think, made it clear that he doesn't like him, but I think he's only on loan. That's right, isn't it? Wherever he is. I don't even know where he's on loan.
He's at Atalanta. And Atalanta. He's a great defender. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for him, but it just feel like the bridges have been burnt with that one, doesn't it?
It does. And Castagne's obviously not coming back. So, yeah, it'll be interesting because I think that's a position we feel we've probably got tied up with JJ, but I suppose at the very least, you know, injury prone, it's something we might have to think about, you know, in terms of cover. Got a quick dilemma for you, and it's a very, very quick one. Just wasn't Vestergaard's finest hour in a tremendous season that he's having on Saturday. Very, yeah. Very quick one. 1st of August, Soyuncu for Vestergaard, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd go all day long. And I do wonder whether there's a chance of getting him back, by the way. Now he's frittering his life away in the Turkish league.
Now he's been proven to be almost like another Danny Drinkwater without the off-the-field stuff. I've got a dilemma for you, actually, then, Tim. If we lose at Leeds, but guarantee finishing second, but we don't win the championship. Or we just, from today, we just play out the games and whatever will be likely being champions. Which would you go for?
I've thought this since the start of the season. It would be really embarrassing from where we are now, but I'd snap your hand off for second.
Okay.
I bet you're going to go the other way, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're going to win the championship, obviously.
I think most of our listeners would go the other way.
Of course, we've got QPR at home after Leeds. So even if we were unfortunate enough to lose, the lead could be down to 5 or 6 points. But then the week after, all of a sudden, it could be up at 8 and 9 again with only about 10 games to go. I mean, look, we're going to win it. I do want to say something about one of our ex-players that I criticised enormously, though. I think it proved me right when Cassidy came on for Chelsea against Man City on Saturday.
Hold on, you're not having all the credit for lambasting Cassidy. It was all of us. But and most Leicester City fans, by the way.
I want the credit for him coming on And before, you know, literally, Man City scored almost the moment he set foot on the pitch. He hadn't done anything wrong, bless him. But it felt like, yeah, Casillas on, Man City have equalised, job done, you know.
I mean, out of this world extraordinary, really, isn't it? You know, I don't think, and by the way, listeners, if you do disagree with us, or if you agree with us, please do email us, leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. We'll keep your email confidential. But I'd be amazed if there were any Leicester fans that hadn't said, in the brilliant, brilliant season all of our players are having, he was, by a distance, our worst player. I mean, do you think there's any debate about that?
I think that there'll be people that would debate it, because I think there were moments where...
What other name would be in there?
Oh, no, I'm referring more to Cassidy. I think he had moments where you felt that there was a player there, but very, very few and far between. But no, you're right. With regards to the team that regularly played, he felt like the one that was always the 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, every yeah, team's right. got one, yeah. haven't they? Sort of. I mean, he's not a boo boy, because I never heard him get booed. But, you know, he was, and then it was extraordinary to us, wasn't it, when he got recalled. But I just thought, well, okay, there must be, you know, I couldn't believe he'd gone into their Premier League squad, to be perfectly frank. And then you think, okay, well, despite Chelsea buying 7 billion players, they obviously need to make up the numbers in their squad. Fair dues, for whatever reason, they want to put a young lad in. Maybe they're protecting his body. Then he brings him on. And as you say, I mean, look, it's not going to be the end of the world for their season, but that sure has helped Man City, didn't it? It helped them out of a hole. Absolutely unbelievable.
No, and a bit like we've said, I mean, obviously, the managers, Enzo and Poch, see something that we don't. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's the kind of player that's better in the Premier League, just because it's not got the hustle and bustle and physicality of the Championship. It's maybe he slots in better with, I suppose, you know, arguably better players. I mean, he scored a huge number of goals, didn't he, for Italy under 20s or under 21. So there's obviously something there. But yeah, it was more just like, I just felt it was a bit ironic that he popped on, and before he'd even done anything, it was 1-1. But anyway,
yeah,
I wish him all the best. Obviously,
no chance at all of him making it in the Premier League. Zero, not even 1%. No chance.
It's just like Kante. just like Kante.
Track record on these predictions questionable. Just a couple of quick ones away from City before we come on to the Leeds game, which we do need to talk about. Roy Hodgson, a bit, you know. Wish him well, but and I certainly hope he's going to be okay, because it sounds like he's still in hospital. So I sincerely hope he's been okay. All looks a bit grim and behind the scenes, horrible football-y stuff going on with getting another guy in while he's in hospital. But I have to say, I've got him down as a mardy old curmudgeon, past his sell-by day, and I think it probably gives Palace a better chance of staying up.
Yeah, look, he's had a stellar career, really, hasn't he? I mean, do you think
Stella? I don't know.
Maybe that's an exaggeration. I think he's done very well for himself, hasn't he? You know, he's managed some big clubs. He's been pretty successful. I think he's well thought of. He's probably just of the era that, you know, the new, I suppose, the in inverted commas, the new breed of managers coming in. I think it's time. I don't think Palace would have gone down under his stewardship. I think he's been good for Palace, but it probably is good, better timing. And maybe really he should have left, stepped down after last season. Maybe it's just a season too far. And clearly, if he's a bit unwell, it's not helping his health. So I'm sure it's the right decision all round. And I suspect would have been led by, or would have been certainly been discussed in conjunction with him. He's not going to be disrespected and sacked, is he? It's going to be like he stepped down and thought this is best for everyone because I'm not going to be around. So it makes sense. But it'd
probably be better for us if they went down, and then we can presumably nick Elise and Eze off them and have some even more wingers at the club, because Enzo does like his wingers. The other couple in our own division, Tony Mowbray, who hopefully is okay, because he's been a good old soldier in this division. He's now taking 6 weeks off, apparently. But the other one was Beale getting fired from Sunderland after 9 weeks. I mean, take a look at yourselves, board of directors. But in fairness, he's been fired twice in 5 months.
It's a good effort, isn't it? He's had 12 games in charge. But if you listen to, I heard a Sunderland supporter on the radio earlier, and it sounds very much like the fans never wanted him. He wasn't an inspired choice. They really probably didn't even want Mowbray out. It felt it was a mistake all along. And, you know, he won four of those 12. They're only 4 points off the playoff. It seems like a harsh decision, but I think in general, you'd normally look at things and say, look, 12 games isn't enough. But I think the board have just acted realising that he's not what the fans wanted and not what the club actually need. It sounds like he can talk a really good game, but actually that's about it. So, yeah, I mean, sacked twice in 5 months, that must be almost some sort of record. It'd be interesting if he gets another job and gets sacked again before the end of the season.
I think Sunderland's chairman is 24. I think he's either 23 or 24 years old. So I suppose building his wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, let's go on to Leeds. I'll start you off with a question. What do you think the odds are? I'm taking the balance of the odds on the Leeds draw or Leicester.
I would
or
say.
Or do you know the answer to this?
No, do you know what? I haven't looked, and I'm trying to.
Don't be cheating.
I'm not going to look. I would suggest that.
You got it written down under your pork crackling there.
We will be both odds against. So I think it will be something like 6-4 Leicester, 13-8 Leeds, something like that.
Which is largely what I would have guessed. Leeds are evens. We're 3-1.
Really?
Which I think is absolutely extraordinary, given that we've dominated this league and are probably better away from home. So, you know, we don't advocate betting, folks, but there's some absolutely incredible odds, I would say.
No, they are. And I suppose that's probably to do with the fact that, obviously, Leeds are at home and that it feels like very much, I think it's almost like a must win for them. Isn't it? You know, I think they need to kick the trap with Southampton.
Well,
it's not about them
getting past us, is it? It's about them getting ahead of Southampton and probably Ipswich. So I'm not sure if it is must win, but I think.
No, but it's must win because of that, because of Southampton and Ipswich. I'm not saying to catch us. It's, you know, you feel that Southampton and Ipswich will still carry on getting points. If they're going to get automatic promotion, Leeds need to keep winning games. So it's more important for them. For us, you know, a draw, even if we lose, you know, we're still very likely to be champions and go up. So I suppose that they've got a little bit, I think what I'm getting at, they've got a little bit more to, you could argue they've got a little bit more to play for.
What do you think? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. As you said, I mean, it could be down to 5 and 6 points at the weekend. I mean, the bookies would say that's highly likely. And I think at 6 points, things do get a bit squeaky. So I think it's because of the Borough game become just as important to us as them, I would have said. I mean, the odds are amazing. The top four people to score the first goal are all Leeds players before you get to Dakar, who I don't think will even play. I assume Vardy will play in that one. They've done really well, haven't they? I mean, if you took the first fifth of the season away, or the first quarter of the season, Southampton and Leeds would be absolutely neck and neck with us. I think with Leeds, that the big mistake he made at the start of this season, I've not followed their team news week in, week out, but the big mistake he made at the start of the season there was not playing Nonto, who I think is a really clever player. And he's now playing and scoring for them. Bamford's had his ins and outs, hasn't he? And then Archie Gray, who's having a bit of a breakthrough season. They've got some proper players there. They've got some Premier League players there, haven't they?
No, absolutely. It's going to be a tough game. But you won't be surprised to know that it absolutely wouldn't surprise me if this is a game where we went on and really made a statement. I mean, I think the fact that, for me, I think they will have to come at us. I don't think they'll play like they did at King Power, and I think we'll. I'm fairly confident the way that we'll play, we'll silence their crowd and come away with a kind of a statement performance and victory. It's gonna be a great game. I mean, it's a, you know, the some of the games at the top, you know, the Leicester's when we play Southampton as well. I mean, these are in all but division Premier League games, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, and they really are. Just you mentioned that for our listeners that don't know, the final game of the season is Southampton and Leeds play each other, by the way. So that could well work in our favour. The games we've lost this year, Norm, and I'm also going to throw Sunderland into that because I thought that was an incredibly tight game. I don't think you're going to agree with me. I think Leeds are the only side that have been better than us this season. And Coventry arguably, but we were down to 10 men. So it's not a fair comparison. But if I look at the other games we've lost, the two Borough games included, Hull, I think teams have, as they will do this season, you know, grab the odd win against us. I thought Leeds were better than us on the day there. I really did.
I can sort of vaguely remember it. I'm not sure. I think we had some chances. That was when Fatua hit the bar, wasn't it? From, you know, if that had gone in, it would have
curling,
been
a curling shot. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think it was actually quite a good game of football. So I think Leeds really raised the game from what I can remember. So I wouldn't wholeheartedly disagree with you, but I think that we had chances where we could have scored and didn't, like we do in a lot of games. So it will be interesting to see how we respond to the Borough defeat, but also having played Leeds and, you know, see whether, you know, well, obviously Enzo isn't going to change his tactics, but it'd be interesting to see what personnel he puts out, because I would expect that with Bournemouth obviously on the Tuesday, which obviously we will review next week, I want us to put a strong team out against Bournemouth, but I want us to Leeds away. The team he puts out has to be what he considers, or should be what he considers, our best 11.
Well, there's no debate around the team, is there? Providing everyone's fit, I think we know exactly what the team is, don't we? I'm assuming you agree it's Vardy.
Yeah, I mean, the team I would play would be the team that played against, started against Sheffield Wednesday, which is basically the team that started against Borough, but with Vardy instead of Dakar.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if it's not that.
Well, you might maybe it'd bring Doyle in for JJ, but I would expect it to be the same. Pretty much the same team.
I'd be shocked if he brought Doyle in. I really would, because you know, whatever he thinks about Doyle and JJ, I think, you know, JJ's been the man in possession. I think that would be a massive surprise to change that for this game. It's probably, I mean, Southampton are going to be a test at home, aren't they? This is surely now going to be the toughest game of the season, I would have thought. So
we'll
see. Time has got the better of his norm, so we need to come on to the predictor. I have got Killer's prediction through. He did manage to send that. Before we do that, double game week. Clearly, all of us, for some reason, thought we might beat Middlesbrough, but I got the Sheffield Wednesday result bang on. You and Killer went 3-0 and 4-0, but I went 2-0. So, I've just pushed my nose out ahead of you two again. I've got 36 points. Killer, 35. You, 34. What race we got going this year? Killer, against Leeds, has gone 1-1.
Well, that's the sensible prediction, isn't it? But that's where I come in to ruin the sensibleness of it. Leeds will score one goal. Leicester City will score three.
You're going 3-1.
I am. I really fancy us.
I think a lot of Leicester fans do. And I was going to go 1-1, but I'm so annoyed with the bookies that I'm saying 2-1 Leicester. Because, like, just don't forget, guys, we've been dominating this league. Just was lose a game, for goodness sake. I can't believe it would have been those odds if we'd beaten Middlesbrough. Forget it. We'll be all right. We're going to be fine. I'm not worried either, just for the record. Final thoughts, Norm?
Well, I hope the fact that we've got Killer's prediction in means he's unstuck.
yes, he is. Let's hope he is unstuck and back with us next week. My final thought is that the bookies have completely lost the plot. That is all, folks. We're all off to stick pins in a voodoo doll of Michael Carrick, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.